This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, we thank you for this morning again. We give you praise. We give you honor. We adore you. We bless your name. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for mercies. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for help and the supply you give us again. You open our eyes again. You will strengthen us. You will cause us to be blessed again. You will put strength. You put breath in us. I pray for mercy. I pray for breath. I pray that you will help me to follow you. Help me to bring forth, even as you have planned and proposed for your people. Help me to follow your spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, cloak me again. Anoint me, O God, that I may be able to speak as I ought to speak in the name of Jesus. Bless us, Father, with an atmosphere. In the name of Jesus, let there be an affirmation in our hearts of that which that you are doing, even within us, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we went through introduction to the redemption, the origin of the fall of man. What was man before the fall? What did man become? We saw that redemption, we said buy back, you know, it was also to buy. It was to buy in view of setting free. It was to buy in view of giving, you know, possession, you know, taking possession of. And we also saw what the components that made up man, you know, that man's spirit and soul was Genesis 1, the invisible component of man. And then there's a visible component of man. Man has a visible component. He also has an invisible component. That was what made up man. And that man was created with an agenda in mind right from the beginning. The story of man, you know, some people have thought that man, the Adam that was created was a perfect Adam. Adam created was an Adam that was perfect. You would say that it was perfect in the natural, but there was still a journey. That was the reason why there was a tree of, you know, of life. Man was supposed to journey. That was the reason for fellowship. If man had come, created man, you know, if he had come into the place of, you know, total fellowship, then there would not have been that separation where in the evening, you know, the Spirit of God had to be coming and going. So there was still a journey that God expected, you know, Adam, the first Adam, to do, you know. And we see that, of course, we've had an adversary, you know, even before Adam was created, you know. And he was actually a tool that volunteered himself, you know, for the test of what was manufactured. And we saw what the fall of man did. And we also saw the price of redemption, that there was a price to redeem man. God redeemed man, you know. The price for redemption was the what? The blood of a sinless man. And we said blood is life. We say when you talk about blood, please don't think red pigmentation. Think of life. What blood contains, you know why? In the hospital, just by your blood sample, they can tell you the disease that you have. Just by your blood sample, they can tell you your genealogical history. Medically, just by, are you understanding that? So blood captures and traps life, you know, and that was why when we talk about the blood of our Lord Jesus, it is not ordinary, it is not a pigmentation, you know, there have been many diverse things, but it is a life that, you know, he custodied, a life of what he became. And we saw what our Lord Jesus went through, you know, and how the Lord, you know, showed him mercy. You know, the Lord showed, you know, he found mercy of resurrection, and that his ministry did not only end in his resurrection. He continued a ministry, even in the heaven, to again also minister in the tabernacle that is above. After this series, I know that there will be nobody that will be doing baba, baba, baba when they ask you about your faith. You'll be able to talk about your faith. And one thing I think we noted was that Satan is the origin of all evil. Please, can we say that together?
Satan is the origin of all evil.
It's good we know. But that is the origin of all evil. It's not the reason for our perishing. People perish for lack of what? Lack of understanding. He originated it, but without understanding, you will perish. That's why a believer can be in church, and if he doesn't have understanding, firstly, of what the Lord has, you know, done for him, and what the Lord will do for him, and understanding of the workings of Satan, he will perish because he does not have what? Understanding. Now, one thing I want to say is that you should not be in church and be ignorant of the inheritance you have in God. That is lack of understanding. You should not be in church and you are not mindful of what it is to be a believer. You know, you should not be in church and when they ask you that, what is the reason for your faith? What is the reason why you believe and you are not able to say? You know, when we talk about our Christian life, it is rooted and grounded in the evidence of the resurrection and the truth of the Bible. Say, the Bible. Excuse me. The Bible is inspired. When they say something is inspired, 2 Timothy 3:18. I want us to read it. He said, all scripture is given by the what? Of God. And is profitable for what? Doctrine. Or correction. For instruction in righteousness. Do you know who wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, God's number? Do you know? And Deuteronomy. Who wrote it? Was Moses born in Genesis? Moses wrote those scriptures by the inspiration. When we say inspiration, it does not connote that men were robots. And they're now... They now say, oh, yeah, right, in the beginning. No, it meant that men wrote as they were what? Inspired of God. So the ultimate author of the Bible is God. It is the only book that bear witness of itself. You know, some other religions will tell you that their book came down from heaven. Some will say they stumbled in the cave or they saw it. No, God bears witness. So when they say the Bible, it is inspired because men wrote as they were moved. One translation says, as they were moved, say move. So it shows that they were not robots. They were moved. You know the authenticity of it? It has 40 authors. The Bible was written by 40 authors. How many books have you seen that has that author? And you know what is amazing? No author contradicts one another. The centrality of the theme is just same thing. 40 authors. Have you seen that kind of thing? 40 authors in different times over a course of 1,500 years. You don't understand. In different dispensations. You mean that somebody in the ages of maybe the how many centuries wrote, another person wrote, you know, and there was no contradiction. Written in three languages. You know it's three languages that the Bible was written in? Or you think it's just two? I mean, I never thought it's two. But there was also Aramaic, like those Ezra, Daniel. They were written in the language of the Chaldeans. So it was three different languages by 40 authors, and yet he affirms the same thing. So, the Bible has its authenticity. There's nobody, let me tell you, take it anywhere. There's no scholar, atheist or unatheist, that can prove that these writings are not correct. They might have issues with some of the things written there. You know what? Some people, their lives, they use their life to defend these writings. You know, that's why, you know, when they've turned writing, you know, Bible is now on tab. Somewhere, there's a way it defeats the blood. Men sacrifice blood. There are lineages that sacrifice their lineage for this Bible to move on. You need to go and read the story of the manuscripts. Some people will read manuscript, eat it, some will swallow it. It was a journey. This Bible, go and do research. This Bible journeyed. It was a journey to bring all the manuscript because, like we said, they wrote at different times. It was a journey to couple it together. Why we always say King James? Because King James was possessed by heaven. To have publisher is one publisher that, you know, you cannot negate. So I'm just trying to say that the Bible is inerrant. When we say inerrant, that the fact that God used human being to write it does not mean that there was error. Praise the name of Jesus. And it's infallible. It is not possible for error. Are you understanding? I want us to understand what we are saying. So when we are saying your Christian faith is on the resurrection, the coming of Jesus physically by what? A virgin birth. That he lived. You know, nobody disputed that there was a man called Jesus of Nazareth. And today, say today. Today, there's no grave for Jesus. There's no grave. No grave. He rose. He rose. He rose. And it's true. It's proven. He rose. You know, there are some men through history that have tried to prove that, you know, and they grab them. You know, they want to prove. They themselves becomes a captive. Some men have helped to even make the Bible believable. By their research, they've helped. You know, that's why God is always afraid of enemies. Because enemies are potential helper of it. We see that in Paul. Saul of Damascus. Breathing fire and thunder. I'm sure everyone must have just said, okay, it's time. It's time to bring him in. So the Lord can do wonders. So we must be able to defend our faith. You must be able to talk about it. You are going to meet with intellectuals. Paul reasoned with philosophers. Our Lord Jesus, at the age of 12, he said he reasoned. So, you know, you must be able to know. We want you to know what you believe. You know, believing also means that there's faith. Because it takes faith in your heart to believe that a virgin gave birth. There's a measure of faith. But you see, that thing that you believe, you must be able to articulate it. Now, the gift of redemption, you know, we saw what sin did through the spirit of man. You know, sin through disobedience made the spirit of man died. We said that. And at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a new spirit was raised called Christ, you know, which made the dead spirit become whole. Say hold. Now, the dead spirit is referred to as the old man, old creation. But, you know, it is not only the spirit, it's also the laws. So, when you talk about spirit has laws. So, what made, when you are saying new man, so when you say new, it connotes that something was made whole. So, when we say at new birth, a man's spirit, which was created in the image of God, was born again. So when we say you are born again, it means that the nature, the fabrics, the elements of the spirit that raised a man is actually a component of Christ. Now, born again is not a forgiving sinner. It's not that your old spirit was forgiven. Mm-mm. It's a new creation in Christ Jesus. It does not have a past. What he has is the image and the likeness of Christ in his spirit. So when you are born again, it is not your old spirit. No, that old spirit is old creation. But you know, it is old creation, but its loss still affect our soul, our mind. Let me tell you, the component that makes up our born again spirit is not in heaven, the present heaven. Christ is an element of the world to come. The inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus, it is in what our Lord Jesus attained by his death, his resurrection. It is captured in him. Jesus is not an entity of the present heaven. Jesus, our Lord, what he has become, is an entity of the world to come. So I'm just trying to say, your born again experience. Do you know why angels marvel? Because we are saying we don't understand it. When they look at that work that was done in your spirit, it is not of the present heaven. You know, the present heaven is the heaven where saints, when they die, they go to. But where the inheritance God is giving us is not to go to. If you read scripture, nowhere in the scripture ever told us that our reward is heaven. They always say it is in a person. They say spiritual blessings in what? In heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. In Christ what? Jesus. God's people, listen to me, because we need to know. Because you see that new man, Lassan, we talk about a lot of the soul, but you see that new man is powerful. You know, when you hear that new creation realities, you see, they are realities by what happened in your born again spirit. Eh? They are realities that it is real and it is tangible. Because people, if you encounter your spirit man, your spirit that is born again, shock will shock you. No, you will be shocked. You will see the disparity of what you are in your flesh and that state of what your spirit is by being born again. And that is why, you know, when we talk about, you know, your rights, so those rights, why that right is affirmed is because it is not of the present heaven or the present earth or the present heaven. And it's important that, you know, Romans 6, for all have sinned, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We saw that death happened to every man. And anytime you sin, I think I said that, please don't be deceived that you are still breathing in oxygen. Something dies in you. Anytime, don't be deceived. You know, there's some believers that they get off from fornication because they can speak in tongues. They say all is fine. Some people, they will have some giftings because they can still give prophecy. You know, you still feel all is fine. You see, those things are the things that scare me, because the gift of God are without repentance. What happened to Balaam? What happened to him? Gifts and things happening is not a validation. You see why, you know, the Lord emphasized to us the place of his inward working. We are praying for gifts and we are going to have it. Both of them must go pari passu. May God not give us gifts and we don't have the gift. Because the gift, the token of redemption is the gift of the new man that must come into every facet of a man. Have you not heard of ministers of the gospel that are living in sin and miracles are still happening? It's not using demonic power. Those are the things that make you fear. Because let me tell you, God wants everybody to be in health. To do what?
To be in health.
Do you know, even when a vessel that is used, we think that the vessel, God, more than you, God wants that person to be all right. And if he can just use somebody to accomplish it, he will use it. It's you that feel that, you are not supposed to have miracle. No, God wants the person to be fine. So when we say the gift, when we say the gift of redemption, say the gift of redemption, is the newly created spirit of man. It is called the gift of grace or the token of redemption. When you say the token, you know, we talked about redemption, the token that you were redeemed. Token means a visible representation or a visible gift that you are giving. The token that you were redeemed at new birth, that you are born again, that token is called new man. It's called new spirit. It's called new spirit. It is the newly recreated spirit. And I want to say, when you say token, see, token is like the rainbow. When the flood destroyed the earth, when the flood destroyed the earth and all mankind, the Lord said, I will give a token. I think that was Genesis 9:12. Yes. He said, and this shall be the what? Talking of the covenant which I make between me and you, and what? Every living creature that is with you for perpetual what? That is why tsunami will not destroy the world. We may have tsunamis or places, but the whole human being, like what happened in days of Noah, will never happen. Talking means there's still more to come. Why did he give us that rainbow? So tell you that, you see what? My agenda is not to destroy all flesh. There's still more that I'm still doing. That's why even when we hear of water and all that, garbage overflow is bang. The whole flesh. God did not make it only with man. He said with all living creature. It means that God has a token with fish. Fish knows that the world will not be destroyed and all my generation will be destroyed. Even snake knows it. Or mosquito knows. I'm just trying to say that is when you say token. And we have had that token stand for generations. Centuries. You know that it's proving that the world was once submerged in water. You know that has been proven. They've seen on the highest mountain some materials that can only be synonymous with water. So it is proven that there was a time that this whole world was submerged in water. But there's a token, and that's why, you know, we know that because of that token. So when you hear 7 days rain and everybody flood with flood, see, just know that the agenda, see, because, you know, that because in case people are panicking, don't know that God has a token. For our brethren in those places, they must know that we not hear that a whole nation was wiped out of water. It's not going to happen. In tsunami, some people were saved. So we understand that the token of our redemption is the newly recreated human spirit. Now, what does it mean to have experienced new birth? I've explained that, you know, that when you experience new birth, Ephesians 2:1. Let's read it. Is it saying? Prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now walketh in the spirit. So, you see, this is his state. So, you are the quickened. We were dead where? Now, listen to the dead. The dead was not that you were dead. You were dead in something. Trespasses and what? Just to see the congealed state of man. So, we're not only dead in sin, in trespassing and sin. We also had a what? Walk. So, you know, it showed that you were not only dead in the spirit. An unbeliever, when you see them, they are dead men. The eye we should have when we see somebody who is not born again is that he's a dead man that is walking. He's not only dead, he's also what? Walking. That means he has ways in his soul. So you might be quickened, you are still walking. According, you understand? Because that according is power accord. According, there's a personality. There are also the spirits. The spirit are his laws that walk in the spirit of disobedience. Are you seeing the state of every unbeliever? This was the state of me and you. I remember some years back, there's a young lady, and somebody asked a question that, is it okay to date an unbeliever, you know? And then the girl, he was to date an unbeliever. You know, the simple answer was that if I take you to a mortuary and you see a dead man, dead in gold and diamond, and he's lying down dead, will you want to date him or marry him? If he cannot do that, Even for that you can see in the visible, you should see that an unbeliever, that is his state. So when believers ask questions that are silly, they don't have understanding of their state and what God has delivered them from. That's why a believer might feel it's okay to marry Muslims. Just kind of okay. It's because you don't understand this Ephesians 2:1. You don't even understand what happened to you. You think all of us, we are not normal. You know, one of the things that has helped me, it helps me with a lot of people that are without. You know, there was a time I was just thinking, this person shouldn't see. The Lord said, what kind of expectation am I expecting from a dead man? That's your expectation. It's not just. That even me, I don't have that expectation for the person. You know, it's the way we expect our colleagues who are not believers to do charity to you. How? You expect your boss, who is not born again, to do charity to you, to be nice to you, to understand, to not be inside. How? See, not only is he dead, you understand, a dead person has no simile. If you go and do your biology, Mr. Ninja D. Now, Mr. Ninja D in the spirit does not operate with a dead man. It not only has that, he has a being that is instructing him. He also has a law that is making him do what he's doing. So how will you have an expectation of him? You know, when you know this thing, you will not be frustrated in your workplaces. You will not be frustrated with some conductors. Why don't you go with me, Lord? Why won't you carry your money? His father is a thief. You don't understand. You know those expectations we have. Seriously, if you know this, when you enter places, you will conduct, there's a way you will conduct yourself, that there are a lot of dead people here. I am living. So therefore, you know the reason why you are driving and you are trying to struggle with another dead person. A dead man is driving a car. Why won't he drive as if he wants to go and die? Death is what is written inside of him. You are the one that is living, that you know that you are kept by the power of God to salvation. He has no destiny waiting for him. There's a mind we must have about what happened to you at new birth. See, when we know this, there's some unnecessary arguments you will not have. You know, my uncle said, because you are dealing with somebody, because that means you don't have an evaluation and a judgment of what happened to you at new birth. You don't have it. When you know that I was dead in sin and trespass, that was where you are, and you were quickened. Can we now say that many of our impatience with men that have not been quickened is actually unjust? Workers, team members, is unjust. And that's why God will never support you. So did you see our state? So at new birth, what happened is that they wake us up and they gave us a recreated spirit. Now that they woke us up does not mean we still don't have a work. You know that Lazarus come forth. When Jesus called Lazarus forth. You know, Lazarus, he was not only dead, he was tied with grave clothes. So when Jesus called him, even for the fact that his first step meant that there was a lot of life that was coming to him. But you see, if they still left Lazarus without removing the grave clothes, he will still die. If they left Lazarus without saying, remove the grave clothes, he will walk to his death again. He will go and fall on a mountain and he will die again. So that you are born again does not mean you still don't have a walk. And that's why some contradiction, you feel that, I'm born again. This is so, you know, you still find yourself. Paul said it, that which I don't want to do, I find in my members that I'm still doing them. So the next question is, when you say somebody is born again, being born again, I want to say this, that nobody is born again naturally. Can you say that, church? Our natural state, when we are born, is iniquity. Psalm 51:5. Okay, behold, I was shaping iniquity, and in sin did my mother. You don't understand. That is, before a child came out, they say when they were even, the spermatozoa and the ovary was coming together, they say what shaped it? They call it iniquity. It means the fragment. You see, that's why you find some natures. You see, some iniquity is not from your generation it started. When it was making you, that's why iniquity is in our genes. It's in our formation. You were framed in it. You see, before your mother, that is, even before she saw your father, her ovary was iniquity magnified. Your father's sperm was iniquity magnified. All jammed together. That's what that scripture means. That before you were conceived, that is, conception means somebody got pregnant. Before, as they were carrying themselves up and down. But you see, just to think about it, now that you are born again, your ovary and your spermatozoa is not ordinary. You see, when Jesus was saying, do not be uniquely yoked with unbeliever, he was talking so that you not being bent to see that are shaping iniquity. So he was saying that in shaping iniquity, when I say being born again is unnatural, see, that I am from a Christian lineage does not make you born again.
That my father is a pastor does not make you what? That my mother is a GO, prayer warrior, does not make you what? You know, there's some people that boast in the prayer, efficacy of the prayer of their parents. That have been coming to church does not make you born again. In John 1, there's a spirit that lighted every man. Are you understanding? You know why we say babies are innocent? There's a spirit that every baby comes into when they are born again. There's a spirit, you understand? A spirit of a baby, except if corruption has worked in the parents. You know, these days, some babies are already trained in corruption from the womb. Yes. Before, when we were born again, when we gave birth, babies didn't used to open their eyes. Every newborn baby will open eye, open mouth. You know that? It took me. I remember that one fun moment I used to look forward to when new babies are born is when they open their eyes. I used to check them. All my siblings, Otilaju, as I will see the days. And it's, he has opened the eye. But now, from the womb, eyes is open. They come up open high. No, it should tell you that corruption has traveled into genes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In him was life. There's a life that lights every man as a baby. You see, but that light, one thing that happens is that much time, Satan kills that light. Some children, he will kill it even before they are 3, 2. Some children, you can even kill it before they are 2 years old, before they are 18 months. See, me and you, one of our work is to move that human spirit, to move it to quickened spirit. It's our labor in this community. You see all these, our children? Our labor is to move them from what? To what? Because they cannot pray by human spirit. There's a death, there's a destiny for every human spirit. To quicken spirit, it takes eye skill and a life of obedience. You see, even when we migrate them, they must also open their mouths to affirm that they are what? That they are born again. That they are coming to children's church does not make them that they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Parents, you must ask your child, ask him just to be sure. At milestone, yes, 10, 16, yes, we must do that. You know, some of us, we are in the midst of our, you know, somebody is dying, you don't know what. If you say you love that person, you must get that affirmation. If you did not know, you say, was daddy born again? I don't know. No, it's not like that. Excuse me, sir. There's a door that wants to open to you. Please, before the door, I want to be sure that I will see you. Because one of our comforts as a believer is that this earth is not the end of our life. That's, you know, the reason why we don't sorrow is that actually, this is just a minute, it's a dot in the life of a believer. So our assurance are, you see all those people that have gone, we will see them again. So just one confirmation. As a parent, confirm. So I'm just trying to say that you come to church does not make you born again. And you might be coming to church and you, all your life has been church story and you think you are born again. Born again might just be a thinking. The reason why you are not changing, why problem? And they'll tell you this, because you have not accepted a savior and you have not accepted a Lord. You are just a church goer. Jesus doesn't own you yet. Praise God. Is that clear? Now, being born again is not a natural experience. It's a spiritual experience. Jesus was very clear in John chapter 3. Very, very clear. He defined what it means to be born again. Our brother Nicodemus was asking. So being born again is not that you were bettered. There's no naturality with it. It's so much spiritual that many times there's a disdain of it. They say, I'm born again. I'm born again. You know, I've seen people who are mocking the your born again experience. They will mock it because they are natural. They will mock it because they are carnal. You see, that experience is a spiritual reaction. That when a man says, I accept you, honestly speaking, even maybe in the world, we will understand. But see, the reaction that quickly changes the body, the spirit, gives you a recreated spirit. Only the Godhead understands it. All what you did was to believe, as in, it's that fast. That's why the things of the spirit is fast. They are quick. That is what, you see, the end point of what they want to make us is to turn us spirit, soul, and body to spirit. It is the soul that takes time. So it takes the soul time to be born again. Are you understanding me? Because the soul is a worker thing. Jimmy Walker, Modupe Walker. But you see, when it comes to things of the spirit, it's quick. It's quick. So, you know, so it is not natural. That your father is Reverend this does not mean that you are born again. That all your life you have been sweeping church does not mean you are born again. That you have volunteered. I had a friend in campus when they do crusade, she volunteer. You know, volunteer, you know, group. They might have even been calling you sister. Sister this, sister that. It does not mean you are actually the sister of our Lord. I want to also say this. Now, being born again is not by self-righteousness. Let's read Ephesians 2, 8, 9. He said, for by grace are you saved. Through what? Through faith. Not, it's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should do what? 2 Timothy 1, 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy what? Calling. So you see salvation before calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own what? Purpose and what? Grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before what? So their plan and purpose has been before the world began. And my brother, that you should be born again. Say not by works. For Titus, you can read Titus at home. Titus 3, 5, Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all unclean things, and not all our righteousness as what? Filthy rag. I said that rag there. The donation is used menstrual rag. That is his rag. So doing good works does not make you born again. There are some people that feel that they can give their way to being born again. You don't understand. I had a boss then that used to amaze me. Christians will come to the office, give him letter to support them. You know, he will give and give. And you know, he used to feel that, he used to say that he's actually a Muslim. You know, he has given. I just told him that all this thing that you are doing will not waste. But that does not mean he's a member of the church. That I don't lie does not make you born again. That I don't steal does not make you born again. That I am a mock, I have never sinned, does not make me born again. That I am pious. I don't wear this, I don't wear that. You can be fasting and you are not born again. Because other religions fast now. You can be nice. I'm just a nice girl. You know, some people qualify themselves. Nice girl is not born again. Nice, being a nice boy does not make you born again. It's just a nice chap. A nice chap does not qualify you to being born again. It's not by works of righteousness. He said, it's filthy rag. I am doing this. Does not make you. That I'm doing that does not make you. Are we sure? So if you are here, maybe your parents were Christians all your life. You have always gone to church on Sunday. In fact, you have gone Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But you have not yet given your life to Jesus. You are not born again. Or that you have been doing good things. You know, you are just nice. You are very helpful. You are very kind. You don't shout. You are just, you know, you are just cool, calm, and collected. You are not born again. It doesn't make you. Until that event happened. Now, I want to say this again. There's no other name. There's no other name to be saved except Jesus. There are many people that think that there are many ways to God. In fact, there are a few ministers that have said that there are many ways to get to Jesus. There's no other way. You know, they say that all of us, there's this preaching of tolerance that distorts the focus of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. Please, let's read this number, Acts 4:12. It says, can we read it? Neither is there salvation in where? For there's none other name under where? Given among what? Here, whereby we must be what? Please, some people have scolded themselves that they are Krishna, love, they are Krishnic, and they are this, they are all manners. Jesus now said with his mouth, John 10:9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? He shall go in and go out and find what? The person that is speaking is Jesus. I have not heard of any man that the price for our redemption was his sinless blood. Every other man atoned for themselves. They atoned for themselves. Can we read John 14:6? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Please, if somebody tells you, they'll ask you, are you saying that all these other people, what's going to become? I don't need to explain. Because you see, one thing about rational people, always look for rational arguments to validate a truth. There's no rationality. You see, the story of redemption, the Bible, is not rational. The Bible is authentic. So that question always comes. Are you saying that all these people, they will go to hell? The truth is, all the people will not go to hell. Because hell will not be more populated than heaven. But the focus is, there is no other name that any man must be saved except by what? the name of Jesus. Please take it to either the bank or investment company. Take it there and bank it there. That is the truth and the foundation of the Christian faith. There are not many ways to God. You know, you might say, oh, are you saying insensitive? Excuse me, God has plans for every man. But you see, my own plan that I know, say, it was Jesus I believed. It was Jesus. I don't know whether it was the name of, I don't know that you believed, but there's just one name. God, let me tell you, for every other person, just so you know, so that your heart is at rest, God has plans for everybody. God, he said, when your obedience is complete, Jesus said, when I am lifted, I withdraw all men. Jesus was the one that said it. He has not been lifted in you and I. That's why they're asking you a question. When Jesus is lifted in my life, they will come and say, with Jesus, please, can you show us? That is what they're supposed to come and tell you. It's because they've not seen it. They jam me, they never jam life. When they jam life by association with me, they'll say, ah, sis, oh, it's like something is working for you. Can you show us the way? That's the question they're supposed to be asking you, not are you saying? They are still asking you. So anybody that asks you, are you saying you have not labored to become? When people are around there, they are saying, are you saying you have not labored? When I labored and I become, you won't ask me that question. You will ask me, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? That's the question you ask me. Men and brethren, when, you know, and men and brethren, what shall we do? When Peter finished speaking, that was the next thing that followed. When he shared the account of the faith journey, they were not asking me, are you saying that all of the Judean, and he said, men and brethren, because they've seen salvation. There's no other name. Oh. You say, what about people that have died before? Every man, what judgment? There's a law of conscience. I also want to say this, that governs every man. So any man that truly dies without the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, there's a law of conscience that every man is judged by. Are you understanding what I'm saying, God's people? Maybe you feel that, oh, what about my grandparents that did not know they were babalawo? They were, please, that's allocation. The Lord that made them. God will not be unfair. God is just. Can I say something? Can I give you one origin? Because when a few deaths happened, do you know that at the moment of a man is in Job, leaving his physical body, there's a visitation and encounter that happens to them. There's a visitation. You are not there. There's a visitation that tries to win the heart of a man. I'm telling you. So don't carry the burden of the old world. The one that created them has a plan. And God did not create any man for destruction. You read that this agenda from the foundation of the world is that every man will be saved. If it is agenda, believe me, it is agenda. That's why being taken away in the natural, it is not a loss to a believer. Paul said, whether I remain or I'm taken. And in between, to go or to stay. A man came to that place. Now, knowledge will raise a man like that. Now, the tangibility of a hope that he had that could make a man. So, we are not a people who are ruffled. I just have one kind joy. When I preach Jesus about the salvation, my salvation journey, someone shock me. I just fall in love with Jesus again. Now, why do you need to be born again? Say this born again. Kilo dena by force. Ha. My girl. Adam sinned. When he sinned, something inconscient, say, my brother, you're not okay. Oh, well, all right. Some things have happened to you. When you say death happened to Adam. Death happened to every man. Death happened not only to man, it happened to his seed. This life is mystery. Well, you think the abundance of life is, you know, a man has everything. You might think that born again is for people who are poor or people who are struggling. You know me, because when you hammer, everything could just cast. You know, everything, you just shine. Oh, Benny, he has placed eternity in man. Why? Do you know why rich people we want to become rich? Do you know why they want to become rich more? Because there's a longing that thing that acquiring can never satisfy. The person that placed it there, now God. You see that longing, say, even Satan fear him. So being born again is not a gospel to the poor. It was a gospel that went to the palaces. Do you know that one of the reasons why Apostle Paul had to be bound in prison was so that they can reach the palace? You see, in that palace, men gave their life to Jesus. Apostle Paul talked about a hope. And men that were in power, they came to a place when they saw that this is useless. You know, when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, there was a note I read in history that even Pontius, there was a note he said, maybe I've crucified the King of Kings. Have I crucified the Savior? As he himself knew that he was standing before a God. Pilate knew that Jesus was God. The Bible says that he tried to release him. He was trying, but he could walk. And that was why he had to rinse his hand. Ogbeni, I know they. Don't be me. You know, he rinsed his hand in front of them. He offered them another. He said, take this one, leave this one. Because he knew he was standing before a being. If Jesus had spoken one more word, Pilate will bow down. If I Pilate will gather all the Pharisees and go and lock them up. Pilate might just say, Jesus, you are not going anywhere again. The gospel might not reach you and I. So we need to be born again because all have sinned and come short. All. Say all. Rich. All. Poor. All. Powerful. All. Powerless. All. Everybody. All. Nobody exempted. So, of course, we saw that Jesus came to pay the price to set man totally free. We are not free. Until you come to the saving, not just the knowledge of God, you are not free. You are not free, oh. It is something that is binding you, that is making you think the way you are thinking. No, are you not tired? Are you not tired of some things? You know, there's some people that, you know, we use sin and death to even boast. It's my nature. It's my nature. You know, on sin and death, oh. Olorun. You know, death smells and stinks. You're shackling with death and say, you see, if we want to use this judgment, when we look at our government like this, we just smell death. You know, when you look at some office spaces like this, you just go, you kure. That then you know that when you go to office, you are life. That you are life. You will not go anyhow. So Jesus came to pay the price. Then who can be born again? Firstly, children who are newly born and those who have grown up but have not come to the age of accountability cannot be born again. So we can't say our newborn baby Petuel is born again. Could work. And you know, when you talk about age of accountability, is the age of awareness and consciousness of what is right, what is wrong, and consequences. Now, there's no age. Some people will say 7. In these days, I think it's even faster than that. Because some children are 3 and 4. You are wondering, what? What? As in, where did this come from? Have you seen some children and you're like, you know, and some, you know, adults are enabling it. Believing adult, oh, enabling nonsensity. You know? So your child is displaying death and displaying some things and you are saying, wow. You see, there's some things. Jesus said, anyone that takes this little one to sin, he said it's better for him that stone. Some parents, stone will be hung around their neck. If someone has reached the age of accountability, dies without being born again, such a one cannot be born again thereafter. There's no prayer or religion ritual that can make a person experience new birth to enter the kingdom. You know, there's some people that pray for the dead. They pray for the dead. It's not in the Bible. Rebus 9:27. Unto men wants to. You won't die again. You die once. And after that, it's good you know that. And that is why your life on earth and in your flesh was given to make this great and eternal decision. That's what our life on earth was used for. There's some sects that will say they are praying for the dead. They're praying for this. It's not scriptural. When you pray, you know that even you that are born again, even those of us that are born again, can I tell you something? That you see, when we cross over to that side, is the life that we have acquired that we cross over with? If when you cross over, you are just omowo baby, day old baby, you are going to heaven as a day old baby. So you need to submit to the curriculum of growth because you know that heaven, they actually is going to be folded up. There's a wall to come that they want to exit every member of heaven. They want to exit them. So they can have pass for the world to come. So that means your own journey continues. It's not everybody that sees Jesus in heaven. It's not everybody that sees the throne in heaven. There's some people you are seeing in outer courts. Or some people maybe in heaven they have Goshen. Where they admit souls. But there are some souls that when they come straight in it, they have seats. But there are some. They say, Ejekokoko grow. Let them grow. Because there's a journey is to grow. And you see, so boy, heaven is still messy. They see mercy. At least it's better than going to hell. Or does anybody want to go to hell here? You can actually be in hell even before you go to hell. Yeah. Satan is hellish. Satan is hellish. He's not just a physical abode. He's what he is. That's why when you are going through some pressure in life, it looks like there's heat around you. Have you ever gone through that? As if they are burning. The pressure looks like it's burning. It's satanic oppression. It's spirits. It's spirit, oh. Spirit won't come near a being and you are cool. Ha. It's the things they carry. That's why some matters, you will know that when you are just looks like kilo day, you know, if you are just, you know, there's one being, oh, one leg bare, but there's another. Quickly, let's go through the effects and realities of the new birth. Now, we have the nature of Christ in our spirit, and we are now the children of God, and God is the father of our spirits. Hebrews 12:9. So at new birth, the father of your spirit is who?
God.
And 2 Corinthians 5:17. In recent time, we are beginning to understand the scripture more, but one thing that is clear, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a what?
He's
a new creature. In your spirit, all things are what? In your spirit, behold, all things are become? You know, when you come to the place of being a Christ person, this scripture also still applies. So when we're talking about what the Bible applies to different measure of life. He said, who have delivered us? So in case Satan tells you that we are not in the same family, Colossians 1:13, he said, who had delivered us from the power of what? And translated you into what? Family has changed. You know, some people will say that they are in a Gbanje family. They were coven. Excuse me, who has delivered you from what? And translated you to what? When a new born, your family has changed. Family has changed. You see, that's why as a believer, you can't believe those things. You can't believe it. I was Satan's girlfriend. I was this one. I was Satan's wife. Who has delivered us from the what? And has what? Translate us into the what? Kingdom change. Kingdom has changed. You know, we're a member of God's family. Members of his household. Ephesians 2:19. Let's read it. So that you can know that you household ti yato. I don't care whether you were formerly, you were the chief priest of your coven. I don't care if that is what was your reality. All me I know is, now therefore, ye are no more what?
Yeah.
And foreigners, but what?
Yeah.
Fellow citizens with what?
Yeah.
And of the household of what?
Uh-huh.
This is your new coven, saints. Your new coven, saints. This is your new household, household of God. Because there are believers that thing has troubled their hearts. I've seen born again Christians. They'll say they are born again, you know, that their former members came to flog them. You see, such believers that those things happen to is because they've not read the Bible. They've not been taught. You belong to a new saint. If any spirit or a great spirit appears and say, you are coming with us, I say, excuse me. He said, who has what? I'm not more strangers, but what? Fellow citizen with what? Are you a saint, Obere? Are you a saint? If you are not a saint, then I do not belong to your family. Household of God. Household of God. Did you hear me? I was sleeping, you know, they flogged me. My member came to flog me. Excuse me. And when you wake up, you know, maybe you should buy a pankere beside you because you are going to flog some people. It comes with a knowledge that your family has changed. Your address was formerly hell, but now your address is heaven. That's your, you know, that's your way, at least at saint level. At saint level. So please, that consciousness must dwell on you. You must not look at yourself and think those dark things. Because your newborn, not new spirit, he doesn't have a past. He only has a future that is going to become. He has no past. So that past is done away with. Amen. Now, we now have peace with God and joy in our hearts. One thing, a lot of believers, I know a lot of people that got born again, they didn't have peace. They say, no peace, no peace. But at born again, one thing that is you intensify is that, I have peace. I've led people to Christ and they say they slept for the first time in how many years? Peace and joy. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with what? God, through our what?
Lord Jesus Christ.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we what? Stand. And do what? Rejoice in the hope of glory of God. So one thing you have is peace. You know, have you seen somebody that the trouble is trouble that brought him to the kingdom? Once he gives the light to God, one thing is he will have. One note, one evidence is peace. A new battle is peace and joy. You don't even, the joy is not based on what is around you. So another thing is that new birth also gives us complete forgiveness committed in the past. Curses enacted. Psalm 103. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our what? Transgressions from us. Can you see? So sins committed in the past, I mentioned it last week, I did this, I did that, is all in the what? Past. He removes it. Colossians 2, 13 to 15. He says, you being dead in sins and what? And the uncircumcision of your flesh, and he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. They blotting out the old handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He said, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having spoiled principalities and power. He made an open show of them. So please don't let any past sin trouble you. I did this, I did that. No, you should not. Because there are some people that, because of that, they will say they are doing restitution. So, you know, there are a lot of, you know, peculiarity. So you married, when before you born again, you had 5 wives. So you send away her, what becomes? We now have freedom from sin. And it's what? Consequences. And it's what? Excuse me, that there are consequences of sin. Sickness is one. Disease. Demonic manipulation. They are all what? So at new birth, you have freedom from sin and its consequences. You also have freedom from the lordship of Satan and evil spirits. No evil spirit can say they are lording it over you. Or that a Christian will say, I am possessed. A Christian ought not to be possessed. Because you have been possessed. Did you not hear the meaning of redemption? They have possessed you. They possess your soul and your body. It's a purchased possession belonging to one. You don't understand. No, even in natural fact, you are not the owner. You see that thing I say, it's my body. A Christian ought not to be saying that. It belongs to the Lord. Are you not the temple of the Lord? They possess you. You were nobody possessed. You could not even buy yourself back. They bought you, me and you back, and gave us a new spirit. So if one has possessed, if the Lord has possessed, how can another possess? That means an illegality. If you don't have knowledge, you will be illegally possessed. If you unduly expose yourself with folly, you can open some traps to spirits. Colossians, Luke 10, 9 said, behold, I give you spirit. Another thing, we have the privilege to enjoy fellowship with God and Jesus through the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Please, fellowship is one of the gifts that comes with the new birth. But many of us, we don't do fellowship. You are born again, you have access to it, but they have to pray you, talk you, blah, 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 blah. Because we forget that fellowship and communion is for me. It's not for God. Now, we are also elected for the promise of God, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you are born again, you are, say born again. When you are born again, you are ineligible for it. We've seen born again Christians that are not yet baptized with the Holy Ghost. Some people believe they have to tarry for a while. Being baptized with the Holy Ghost is another experience that must follow our new birth experience. And that's why in this local assembly, for instance, when you are born again, it doesn't cost anything because it's a gift that was given. They are not just giving it. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and shall be what? Witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in all Samaria. I've seen Christians that are born again. They pray, they do everything, but it's a frustrated Christian living. It's frustrated because you don't have power. They say you shall have power. It's just like when you buy something and it's not powered. You buy an electronic, it's not powered. Say you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. So that means they bought something. Power. It's just there. You know when you want to start a car? The battery is flat. What's the essence of a car that is not moving? Then that means you are the one that will be doing the work. So we are to be followed by the signs in the name of Jesus. Mark 16:16 said this sign shall follow them, you know. He that believes and his baptized shall be saved, but he that believes shall not be condemned. He said, these signs shall follow them. You know, access to signs to follow them. So as a believer, you don't need to. It is 21st century faith. I mean, believing and being born again that makes you think that you need pastor to heal the sick. I mentioned it earlier. I said it was an old disciple that healed Paul and got him filled with the Holy Ghost. It was a disciple. He was a disciple. You know, casting out demons. You know, it should be nothing. It's not that, there's a demon in my compound. Pastor, let me call myself community pastor. What are you? You are a disciple. Yunko. There's a this in my... I mean, many of our parents, at what age were they casting out demons? Come out. Because it's not in your name. It is in the name. It's not your name they respond to. It's not your holiness. It's in the name. It's in the name of Jesus. I And they know it. It's you that don't know it. They know it. When you know it, it's deliverance. I was 14. Casting out demon used to be a thing we used to gist about. You have a banjo. How do you go in the name of Jesus? Just one word. You know? But many people had that exploit. And you should not be a born again. You have not had that exploit. And you see, maybe you have an ausep. Some people, they have ausep. They first take the ausep to be sanctified by a pastor. Do I me cast out every demon? Some people have to go, no. He said, these signs that follow them. Our natural response, when people also say they are sick, is that you heal. But let me pray with you. You know, even me, while we were praying, the Lord checked me that when people come and tell me medical condition, before I even start talking hospital, I will exercise my faith. I will ask you, have you exercised your faith? I will agree with you. We will not do anything quick. Medical intervention, we believe in it. But we will all exercise our faith and trust God, because that is the order. So we now also have an eternal destination. Our eternal destination is new earth and new heaven. Revelation 21 is there, becoming the Lamb's bride. You know, I mean, the new heaven, the holy city first. There's also, you know, access to becoming the Lamb's bride. Those are the things that at new birth we have access to. Then we have access to start the journey of sin and entering the kingdom. John chapter 3 was very clear. He said, unless a man be born again, he cannot what? See. So you know, when being born again, firstly, what it gives you that you can begin to see it. And then you can begin to what? Find journey to enter. So that you are born again does not mean you have entered the kingdom. And then you have access to come from faith, to get change from faith. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he said, one of the ministry of the Son and the Father is that he will begin to commend us to faith, to his face. And it is in that place that change, Psalm 17. He said, for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I what? Awake in thy likeness. You need to be born again to start that journey. Then access to spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. Say, who has blessed? Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places where? In Christ. Ephesians 1:3. So you have access to spiritual blessings. Then you have the privilege of the continuous work of salvation, to full salvation, which is salvation of our soul and the redemption of our body. And now we are potential heirs of everlasting life. 1 Peter 1:9. It says, receiving the end of your faith. Even what? So receiving, you can say that they didn't say receive. Receiving is a process. Being born again commends us to the process of receiving. Then you can start the journey to access lively hope, inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. And that is 1 Peter what? 1, 3 to what? 5. So how can you be born again? So an unbeliever is dead in a spirit and does not need to repent because God will not hear him. So the message of being born again is not a message of repent. Rather, the message of being born again is I should believe with his heart and confess with his mouth the lordship of who? Jesus. Then he will be saved in his spirit. He does not need to confess every sin he has sinned to become born again. Because which one will he confess? Is it his grandfather's own or his own? Or the one even before he had awareness? Sin will over confess. That is because many of us don't even know the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer were taught it was repent. No, it's believe. Let's read that Romans 9. That if thou what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Because people, a dead man need not repent. He's dead. He doesn't have breath to ask for repentance. So repentance is for believers. It's for those who are born again. You can only repent when knowledge has come to you. When they are sin. Repentance is that's when you repent. And that's why repent. You know, some people, the reason I've heard some Christians say the reason why they feel they've done all their repentance before they are born again. Now that they are born again, there's no repentance. You are on your way to perdition. Repentance is our, let me say, because that is the ministry that the apostle came to deliver to us. Anytime in church today, I've done my repentances. Have you not repented? Have some things not come? Even some prophecy, and I say, God, forgive me. Oh, Olua, you know, because that is our culture. It's for people who are born again. So, one thing you must do if you have not been born again, please, this is a very good atmosphere to give your life to Jesus. But in case you meet somebody that wants to be born again, firstly, they must believe that God sent Jesus to die for sinners, of which you are one of them. And I ask you, did you believe that when you gave your life to Christ? Then they must believe that he was crucified on the cross for my sin. He died and he was what? Buried. And that he arose from the third day as the Son of God. They must believe that. That is the, I'm telling you, the curriculum of leading people to Christ. Please, you must know it. Please, the reason why we are not having power in church is that people don't even know if they are born again or not. People don't even know what they believe. You understand? We are not even able to articulate it to them. Then they must confess him as their Lord and Savior. I receive you, Jesus, and then thank you for your salvation. So one say, Lord, I believe that God sent Jesus to die for my sins, of which I'm one of them. I believe that he was crucified on the cross for my sins. I believe that he died, he was buried, and he rose on the third day as the Son of God. I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I thank you for my salvation. Capish. It might not be in this phrase, but those should be the content of leading somebody to Christ. Please, if that was not your content, but maybe I believe that through the line, clarity might have come. But if that was not your content, feel free to come and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And one thing we must now say to them, that what happened to you is that you were quickened, your new man, but you must know that there were two things they purchased. Your soul was purchased and your body was purchased. So that they know that there's a furthering work of the gospel to be done. Are you here? You want to give your life to Christ? Don't be ashamed. You know, I don't know why people are ashamed of giving their life to Christ. I just joined in a family. We are your family members. You know, some of us, we must know this thing so that even we have boldness. We can even use your spiritual steeds to preach people to Christ. But you can't use steeds when the reason why we have some people, you know they need the Lord, but you are not able to articulate it. You are not able to even say, because even you yourself, your own are shabby waters. We need to fine-tune that your born-again experience. So you don't know that a life without Christ is full of crisis. The Lord will just give you an entrance. An entrance to say, okay, you know this, and then you can get people born again. Can we just lift up our hands? We've talked about Jesus, the Savior. He is the one that paid the price of your redemption. I didn't pay it. No man paid it. Your parent didn't pay it. He paid that price because he has a future for you. He has a future for you. He has a hope for you. And you know, he has taught this from the very, very foundation of the world. He has thought about it. He has thought about you, you know. And you know, like we said, it doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't take a sweat or a hair from your body. All what it takes is for you to what? Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Do you believe? Do you believe that God sent Jesus? He sent Jesus. Jesus to die for your sin, of which you are one, of which I was one too. I was once like that. You know, do you believe that he came? He died for your sins? Do you believe? That he was buried, he was crucified. Do you believe that he arose on the third day? And as a Son of God, if you believe, then yes. Because you see, with the heart, a man believes, and with the mouth, confession is made. If you believe these things in your heart, then you can say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you were sent for me, Jesus, to die for my sins. I believe that you died. I believe that you were crucified. I believe that you rose on the third day as the Son of God. I believe that you came to save me and accept you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you for my salvation. I thank you because I'm saved. I thank you because I belong to a new family. I belong to a new family of the household of faith. I belong to another family. I belong to another. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because today is worthy of salvation. Today is noted in heaven. Is noted in heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask that, Lord, this experience will cause you to lead them, you know, to men and women, to lead them to a local assembly where they can be planted and grow in the name of Jesus. That they will begin to find the workings of God, the workings of God that will lead them to the place where they can be establishing your plan of salvation for them in the name of Jesus. Please feel free to reach out to us. We are happy, you know, to have you. We are happy for you to be part of us, you know, and we know that this decision, you will never regret it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.